If you have your Bibles tonight, just a springboard into the message tonight, turn back over to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter number 46. Isaiah chapter number 46. Let's stand and reverence the word of God. I want to read a couple verses, verse 9 and verse number 10. The Bible said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for Calvary. Lord, no wonder the Apostle Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, no wonder, Lord, the preaching of the cross is to the world foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I'm so glad tonight to be a part of a people that's not ashamed of Calvary, not ashamed, our Lord, that our ticket out of here was purchased with blood on an old rugged cross. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd just clothe us in our calling and help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. When I read the text a moment ago, this is really not part of the message tonight, but I want you to go with me to the book of Peter. When I read the text, God put this on my heart. And I'll tell you, if there's anything we need in this generation, young and old alike, I said we, I didn't say you. We need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God's prompting. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, ain't you afraid of wildfire?" Well, I'll be honest with you. If it's wild, God's people will know it real quick. Amen. But I tell you what, if it's of the Lord, amen, it's a blessing. The Bible said here in this second verse, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. How many knows that there's something on God's agenda that's not yet done? Notice what the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3. "This second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." I didn't even realize when God put it on my heart, remember the former things. There's that word, remember, again. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming?" That's exactly what he's talking about here. God's declaring the things that are not yet done. Where is the promise of his coming? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." And I love this. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. You know what that's saying in its context right there? He's coming, and he's not slack concerning his promise. We need to be excited that our Lord is coming again. We've been preaching along the lines of there's none like him. None like him. We preached a message not too long ago, and there's none like him in his speech. He spoke as one having authority. He didn't speak like the Pharisees. Matter of fact, when they come to arrest him, they fell backwards when he just said, "I am he." Amen. And he had power in his voice. And then we began a message on Wednesday night. There's none like him in his compassion. You see, the Bible said to love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our Lord wasn't just a talker. He was a walker. Amen. Now, if I can get this right, it's almost a tongue twister. But somebody said your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did I get it right? I believe I did. Amen. Your walk talks louder. And somebody said this, I'd rather see a sermon as to hear one any day. I believe you and I have the opportunity to live for God, amen, and have this compassion, this love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We said there's none like him in his compassion. On Wednesday night, we looked a lot at the woman at the well. We looked a lot at how that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Tonight, I just want to pick up on one little text. Well, it's one little story, but there's a couple of different texts that we want to look at. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you will. I don't know if I even made a note of where it is. Luke chapter 19, let's try that. I hope and pray that's it. Amen. I get stirred up, amen, studying. And sometimes I remind myself of Brother Odell. I'd get up here and try to read his notes, and then he'd say once in a while, I can't even read my own writing, amen. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 41, and the Bible said, when he was come near, he beheld the city. That's it. That's the text. Because I got two others that line up with this. But he beheld the city. And then what did the Bible say? Let me tell you what God did this afternoon as I went back to study and review and think about what I was preaching tonight. God rebuked me. How many remembers what I said about Atlanta and what I said about Chicago? Jesus would look at those places. He'd weep over them. And I'm going to show you why in just a moment. I made the statement, if you weren't here in the service this morning, I made the statement that, you know, I didn't blame Jonah for wanting to go to Tarsus when God said go to Nineveh. If God said, Brother Vinoy, you go to Chicago, I'd be hunting me a ship too. Amen. Headed the other way. You go to Atlanta. Amen. I'm just not a city boy, number one. And number two, I thank God for where he's put me. But watch this now. I want to show you tonight, there's none like him in his compassion. When he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Keep your place there. Keep your finger there. And go back to Matthew chapter 23. There is a parallel text in the book of Luke. I tell you what, it'd be better just to stay in Luke. Stay in Luke with me. Luke chapter 13. Is that what we're going to look here? Luke chapter 13. Yes, verse number 34. There's a parallel text that's going on in Matthew. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 34, here's what the Bible said. These are, of course, Jesus' words. All of this is the Word of God, but these are his words. If you have a red letter edition Bible, they would be in red. In verse 34, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'm trying to paint you a picture of the compassion of our Lord Jesus as he stands overlooking the city of Jerusalem. There's one thing I noticed in Kingsport years ago. I had the privilege to go to Jerusalem. I think that would have been 1995. It was. That was the first year I was at Liberty Baptist Church. And there was a couple in Kingsport that took me with them. And Brother Joe Bird went on that trip. Brother Winston Sweeney, two precious men of God, went on that trip to Israel. And one of the things when I got back is when you top Bays Mountain coming back from Johnson City and you look at the landscape, it reminds you of a lot of that countryside that it's, when it's lit up at night. It reminds you a lot of the countryside in Jerusalem. I love to go up here. I think it's called Eden's Ridge. You're going up like you would go across to the cemetery. What's the name of that one? East Lawn Cemetery. But you can go up there, and I'd still love to go up there. I've knocked on a door up there to see if we could have a prayer meeting in that front yard, because you can go up there and look over Bloomingdale at night. It'll touch your heart, especially if you pastor a church realizing that God has given you the responsibility for that community. If you don't think we have the responsibility to reach this community, you're wrong. God didn't put us here for me and my four no more. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to have that same kind of compassion on our community. That's our Jerusalem that Jesus had on Jerusalem in his day. Now I'm going to give you some things tonight. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings." I want to ask you the question tonight. What was it that caused Jesus to weep? What did he see? I mean, you see a bunch of lights, you see a bunch of houses, but how many realizes that Jesus sees past the lights? He sees past the houses. I've been with people before, and they'll make a statement like this, "Boy, isn't that a beautiful home?" And I say, "I don't know." You can say it's a beautiful house looking at it from the street, but whether or not it's a beautiful home, you'd have to be on the inside and know what's going on the inside. See, a beautiful home is where Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the house, and children are living in subjection to their mother and their father. Is that not right? That's what a beautiful home is. Amen. And by the way, I like this. You can have a beautiful home without having a beautiful house. Glory to God. You can have a beautiful home without having a beautiful house. And I tell you this, I believe a house is beautiful to you if you know God give it to you. Not sleeping in a cardboard box over a steam grate somewhere. Amen. God give it to us. But I want to give you a couple of things real quickly that Jesus saw in this message on "There's none like him in his compassion." I don't know this. I won't argue the point. But when the Bible said that Jesus wept over the city, I don't know if he just, Brother Chris, if he just stood there and maybe a tear rolled down his cheek. How many's ever seen somebody weep until their shoulders went up and down? They're just broken. I don't know the degree, but I know the degree of compassion. There's none like it. The songwriter got it right when he said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Amen. No one ever cared for Jerusalem like Jesus. No one ever cared for Bloomingdale like Jesus. For Kingsport like Jesus. And so there's several things that he saw that I believe that caused him to weep. And I want to touch on them tonight. He saw the deceit that was in their hearts. They were deceived. How many believes that in our community there's a lot of people that's deceived? I was listening to a man preach yesterday evening, and he made this statement. He said, you can talk to people, and some people say, "Oh, yeah, I got saved back yonder. I got saved back yonder. I was a teenager. I got saved back there. They'll tell you the church where they got saved at. And they've been living in sin for 35 years, and they've never experienced the chastisement of God. God's never rebuked them. God's never chastised them. He said, that person didn't get saved back there. And I believe that lines up with the Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. I don't mean we're perfect, but I tell you what, when we do get out of the path, we got a Father that knows how to get us back in the path because He loves us. He whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Amen. One guy, he was reading that betimes, and he said his daddy always whooped him at bedtime because he thought there was a D in there. Amen. He said right there, chasten him at bedtime. Amen. It was betimes. Many times as necessary. What did Jesus see? Go back over. Let's see, where did we start at there? Luke chapter 19. Go back over there for just a moment with me, please. I'll try to be brief. Number one, he saw the deceit in their hearts. It has to do with something that they had in their hearts. He said, if you'll look at in these verses that we just read over in the book of Luke, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them. Beloved, they had something in their heart that was not pleasing to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I dare say if you've lived for God very long at all, you've had something in your heart that wasn't pleasing to God. But these people are deceived. They're killing the very messengers that God is sending to them, trying to reach them for the Lord Jesus. And so there was deceit in their hearts because of what they had in their hearts. But then if you go back over to Luke chapter 19, there was not only something that they had in their heart, there was something that was hidden from their heart. The Bible said, if thou hadst known, in verse number 42, even thou, at least in this thy day. And then the Word of God said in the last part of chapter 40, or verse 44, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. In John chapter number 1, Jesus said this, or actually John said this, he said, he, Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why not? Because it was hidden. And by the way, beloved, if we understand the Bible, Paul told us, don't you ever stick your chest out like you're somebody against the people of God, the people of Israel, amen, because God is able to graft them in again, amen. And God will, beloved, save Israel one day. So all Israel shall be saved. But I want you to know tonight, at this point in time, Jesus is weeping. He's showing compassion because of the deceit that was in their hearts. Many people in Bloomingdale are deceived. They think because they made a profession somewhere, they're going to go to heaven. I hope and pray that's not you tonight. I mean that. Beloved, listen, it's not profession that's going to take us to heaven. It's possession. I'm His, He's mine. Amen. It's not, beloved, turning over a new leaf or signing a card or getting dipped in a water hole. It's being born again by the incorruptible seed, the precious Word of the living God. And many are deceived. They think, well, if we had a message on the telephone not long ago, don't ever come by my house again. Because somebody, listen to me, somebody from a church, it wasn't us, but somebody from a church went by and told them, if you're not going to church, you're going to hell. There's nothing farther from the truth. I want to say this, whoever knocked on that door is deceived. People are not going to hell because they don't go to church. People are going to hell because they don't go to the cross. Because they don't go to Christ. I believe in going to church. Don't you get me wrong. But beloved, going to church wouldn't make a person a child of God any more than standing in a garage would make him an automobile. It won't do it. Amen. Church is a good place for God's people to gather. But we're here to edify one another. We must be born again. Born from above. The deceit that was in their hearts. There are people out there, and this is what they'll do. They'll say, well, I tell you what, I know that fellow that goes down there at Bible Way, and I'm just as good as he is. And you know what? They might be right. But they need to realize something. Ain't none of us good enough to go to heaven without Jesus. Amen. Deceived. Because the Bible said they comparing themselves with themselves were not wise. I shared a devotion with the youngins not too long ago about a machine shop. Then when I worked in Marion, Virginia, we had what they call an inspection room. There was a table, so help me, that thick, and it was marble. Ground completely flat on top. Why? Because you had to check parts. You had to lay them on that table. You didn't throw stuff on that table. The temperature had to stay the same. In that room was all the standards. In other words, how many knows what a mic is? Say 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, whatever. If you had a mic that was 0 to 1 and you needed to check it, Brother Chris, I didn't take my mic over there to your toolbox and check it against yours. And you didn't bring yours over here and check it. Then me and you go back and check it against Brother Riggs and say, well, okay, our three mic, well, yours is off. No, yours is off. No, all of us had to go to the same room, get the same standard. Get this, the same standard. The same standard. Brother Preston, it's not, I'm doing good compared to you, you're doing good compared to me. How are we doing compared to him? Jesus saw the deceit that was in their hearts. And many people are deceived tonight. And Jesus would weep over that state, the deceit that was in their heart. Then Jesus saw something else. He saw the destruction that was in their homes. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, look at it here. The Bible said here, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicken under her wings. Look in verse number 42 of chapter number 19. If thou hadst known even thou this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. You know who suffers the most when a home goes awry? The children. Let me let you in on something. This is just free. Everything else, $10. This is free. You know who suffers the most when there's a church problem? The children. Now, I'm not... Listen to me carefully now. Listen to me carefully. I'm not necessarily talking about the little ones. They do. But really, some of them not even old enough to know what's going on. But I'm talking about the children, spiritually speaking. The young ones. Say amen. Somebody's been around a while, they'll just go somewhere else, amen, or buckle down, do what God wants them to do. But those people that are very shallow, those children in the things of God, will suffer. And Jesus was looking at Jerusalem, and he says, listen, there's not only deceit in their heart, but the destruction in their home. I want to say this. In America, I talked about some cities this morning. That's not just the cities. Right here in Bloomingdale, right here in Kingsport, there's two fathers missing in a lot of homes. Do you hear what I said? A heavenly father and an earthly father. Missing. God intended for the home to be. Now listen, we're not fussing if it ain't that way, but I'm just telling you, God intended for it to be a mom and a dad. And there's destruction coming to Jerusalem. And Jesus knows it. And he's concerned about the children when the destruction comes. The family is under attack. In verse 43, he said, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies. I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen to me tonight. I'm not fussing, but I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll let that enemy come right in the living room on that boob tube. Amen. We'll let that enemy come right in there on a phone or on an internet. We'll let the enemy come right in our midst. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that, listen, my dad used to say this, it's got a knob on it for a reason. Amen. Turn it over or turn it off. Amen? If you wouldn't sit there with your brother in Christ, or wouldn't sit there with your pastor, wouldn't sit there with your Savior, don't sit there and let the enemy put stuff in your head. Amen? One of the things that Hollywood has done, and they've done a good job at it, they've made sin acceptable. I believe that was my phone. If I hadn't had my hearing aids in, I'd have never heard it. Ain't it something how you can get to preaching on the enemy? Did you call me just now, Rick? Amen. Amen. The destruction in their home. Jesus wept. There's no compassion like His. He said, your house will be left unto you desolate. It's amazing how quickly things can turn around in a home. Jesus, by the way, He sanctioned the home before He ever sanctioned the church. I want you to think about that for just a moment. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I believe our priorities ought to be God first, and our ministry second, and our home third. I said, you're wrong. That's exactly right, youngins. Our priorities ought to be God first, and our home, then our ministry. You see, if we don't have a home, we don't have a ministry. And there have been a lot of men that have sacrificed their children and sacrificed their home to the ministry. And that's not right. God's not pleased with that. He wept over it. He saw the deceit in their hearts, the destruction in their homes. And then this is the one that really gets to the crust of it all. He saw their destiny in hell. He knew where they were going. I'm going to tell you tonight, I stood at a funeral not too long ago. Boy, was it an awkward situation. I mean awkward. A woman opened in prayer. Had I known everything I known before I got there, I wouldn't have went there. But I was there. And my brother that I was doing the funeral had asked me to preach his funeral. It was awkward, awkward situation. Very awkward. You say, Pastor, what'd you do? I stood on the steps and preached like a wild man. You say, why'd you do that? Because in that crowd, there's people that's headed for the lake of fire. This is what I told him. The gentleman I was preaching his funeral, he had a lot of zeal. And I said, a lot of you all didn't like his zeal. I knew it already. They didn't want to be witnessed to. But here's what I told him. I said, if we take and cut a hole in the earth the size of this Bible, and every one of us come by one at a time, 10 seconds, just look and listen for 10 seconds what's going on in hell. Brother Jack, I said every one of us would get up with more zeal than we got right now. See, Jesus saw their destiny. He knew where they were headed. We say we believe it. And I'm not fussing tonight. But I believe if we really believe it, we're going to do something about it. That our loved ones, our neighbors, everybody that's without Christ is headed to an awful, awful, awful place. The Bible said there's weeping, there's wailing, there's gnashing of teeth. No doubt, Brother Jack, Jesus, when He's looking at that city, He sees people playing. Some of the adults are just playing. Some of the kids are just playing.
maybe some partying going on, and he's standing there weeping because he sees the end of it. He sees their destiny in hell. I'll say this, there's none like him in his compassion. No one ever loved me like Jesus. He loved me when I was unlovable. No one will ever love our community like Jesus. But they don't know it. We need to go tell them. There's something, see if I can find it real quick and I'll close. Something I wanted to share with you. Let me see if I can find it real quick. You see, Jesus wept. You remember it when he wept when Lazarus died? The Bible said Jesus wept. There he's weeping at the power of death. But these people are going to hell, and Jesus is weeping at the pain of death. I want you to see, let's see, go back to that text in Luke chapter 13 for just a moment. I'll be just a moment. I'm done. Watch this now. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. I never caught this till today. And stonest them that are sent unto thee. Boy, God spoke to my heart. The next two words, how often? How often? How often would I have gathered thee? I believe what God's wanting us to see, Brother Chris, is this wasn't Jesus' first trip. It wasn't the first time he wept. How often? That indicates to me, when Brother Jason, I couldn't help but think about the family, the carport full. How often? I'll have to go back. You understand what I mean? How often? I've been to Ethan's house several times. How often? Why? Because of the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. Once in a while, Brother Mike, in prison, the men loved me. I don't know why, but they loved me. Once in a while, they would begin to make more out of me than they ought to. Build you up more than what they ought to. And once in a while, I'd bring them back down to earth, and here's how I'd do it. I'd tell the men, listen, it's Jesus, it ain't me. I said, if it's me, I'd be at the house with my beautiful wife and my children. I wouldn't have driven 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours. I said, it's not me. It's him that lives in me. I said, if it was me, this is strong. But I said, every one of you could go to hell and I could care less. But it's him. I'll just say it like this. If it's me, I'll find me something I really like to do Thursday night. But it ain't me. It's him that lives in me. Does that make any sense? Jesus had compassion. There's none like him. I'm just glad you come tonight.